I want to explain something. I don't know exactly why, but this particular parable has made me very emotional. I have lived with this parable now for 2 weeks, and it is like, when you talk about living water, it is just going around and around in my head. And I thought about something. I think I'm a Pentecostal Jew, or a Jewish Pentecostal Christian. So, and here's why. If you went to an Orthodox Jewish service, you would see people davening, which is going like this. I'm not going to get up and like this, and chanting. And what they're chanting is to make this a sacred space that you're in and to invite the Lord into this space. And there is actually some call and response to the congregation of that inviting the Lord in. So I'm going to ask that everybody at their tables, led by their table leader, will say something like the following. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us the Holy Spirit. So let's try that. Thank you, Jesus, Holy Spirit. We welcome the Holy Spirit into our gathering and ask that we be blessed by it today. Amen, amen. Sorry about that. Because I think even though we are a Bible study, we are also, it's our moment to be with Jesus. And, you know, when I think about coming here every week, to me, being with you guys is one of the greatest privileges that anybody can have. And to be able to be as open about my love of Jesus is so refreshing, and without having to defend it or discuss how it works or anything else, but just to feel it, because the Holy Spirit is exactly what we got. Now, I'm going to try something which may not work, but I'm going to play what they call the best version of Amazing Grace, because Amazing Grace is really the retelling of the Jesus story and of the fact that Jesus is always seeking us. So hopefully this will work. And I'm going to read you the first letter. When the song was written, there was a preface. And most people don't say the words to the preface. For God so loved the world that he truly saved a wretch like me. I am so undeserving of God's love. I have turned my back on him time and time again in my life. Yet, his love for me is steadfast. Did he not leave the 90 sheep to get the one? I am that one. And this is my story. And then it says, for God so loved the world. And it shows the cross. That he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him might not perish. Heavenly Father, for the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. And whoever believeth in Jesus shall not perish, because Jesus is the light of the world and was sent for that purpose. Now it wants to play something else, which it's not going to do. There we go. So when you read the parable about the Pharisees, here's what was going on. Jesus was hanging out with people, some people, not everybody he hung out with was disreputable, but some were tax collectors. Some had were sex workers, as they call them now. Some of them were reprobates. And the Pharisee said to him, if you're so godly, how come you hang out with so ungodly people? And because they were saying, we only want to hang out with the righteous so that we demonstrate that we are righteous. And the mistake that they were making is that you cannot be righteous enough to deserve the grace of God. It is not possible. Even the most righteous among us, Paul, Nelson Mandela, you name it, Saint Francis, none of them believed that they could be saved by their righteousness. And this week, with the first the snow and the cold, I found out firsthand what this means. Because my wife and I were incarcerated together in the house. And she's a first generation. She was born in this country. Her parents, one was born in Germany. The other one was born on the way over on the boat. And she has more rules than there are Cracker Jacks in the Cracker Jack box. And I tried to follow all of the rules so that I would not get into trouble. And I could not do it. As hard as I tried, I could not do it. There were just too many of them. And even when she thought I had followed all of them, she brought up some past mistakes that I had made, including pointing out to me as we're about to leave for something that my grandfather built a bar and somebody put something on top of it and it's got a stain on it, which she has pointed out to me innumerable times, but she pointed out to me again. So, and I was engaged in a pharisaical endeavor to prove my righteousness and my ability to stay out of conflict, and I failed. And you may think it's a laughing matter, and it is, but really, if you think about it, there is no way to be righteous enough to be pure in the sight of God. As far as we know, there was only one person that did that, and that was Jesus Christ. And so when we think about this, we have to remember that, yes, it's good for us to behave well and do things well and good works. And if we really believe in Jesus, all of that should follow. But we should never, in our egotistical minds, think that we somehow have gotten to deserve this. That we have, this is a free gift. It is a gift that has been given to us. You are looking for, God is looking for us. Jesus is calling us. And this is what he says in the Gospel of Luke, according to the World English Bible. He told them this parable. Which of you men, if you had 100 sheep and lost one of those, wouldn't leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that was lost until he found it? When he has found it, he carries it on his shoulders, rejoicing. When he comes home, he calls together his friends, his family and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. I tell you that even so, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous people who need no repentance. Now, the who need no repentance, when I read about it in Hebrew, that would be actually a sarcastic statement. So it means who think that they need no repentance. It's not that they are righteous. As somebody once said about somebody else, they're a hero in their own mind. So they're deceiving themselves, and they're being deceived by the evil one. So, and Jesus went on to tell a couple more parables, all regarding the same thing. So when he was meeting with the tax collectors and with the whores and everybody else, he was trying to bring them back into the fold. And a shepherd takes care of his flock, doesn't lose any, and tries to expand his flock. We are Jesus's flock, and we all have been lost. And some of us have been found sooner than others, but we have still all been lost, and we are all occasionally lost even now. And what we need to think about and remember and feel in our bodies and our minds, that Jesus is sitting there with an outstretched hand, and you're on the floor, and all you have to do is take that hand, and he will pull you off the floor and take you to his breast and carry you back to his flock. So you need to keep that always in mind. This is, in some ways, the ultimate parable about what Jesus' mission in the world was, to come to us, to tell us that we were saved, to give us the Holy Spirit, and let us know that he is there always with his outstretched arms, always waiting for us. And you know the story of the prodigal son, and there's been books written on it, and I'm not going to give you any books about it, but I will tell you this. The father represents Jesus. The son has done nothing to be deserved to be brought back into the fold. But it's the father who so loves his son that he will bring him back into the fold. So one of the big mistakes, and men make this mistakes more than women, is that we don't want to get right with Jesus until we think we're worthy of Jesus. And it doesn't work that way. You've got it in reverse. You've got to, if you want to get right with Jesus, first you get right with Jesus, and then maybe you'll be more worthy. And maybe if you follow his counsel and his spirit, you may be more righteous. But you'll never be righteous enough to deserve a place in heaven. You will only be righteous enough that you may be honoring Jesus, God honoring, but you will not be righteous enough if to get into heaven. And you can only get not only into heaven, but you can only experience the grace and the power and the light that Jesus gives by embracing it and understanding that you are unworthy, but he wants more than anything else for you to take that gift. And when you refuse to take Jesus' gift, you are an ungrateful cur. And then you are truly not righteous. Even if you spend every day at the soup kitchen, you get rid of all of your possessions, you flagellate yourself, you stop dancing, in my case that would be a blessing, and do all those things, if you do not accept Jesus' hand, you are not part of the flock. You are part of the group that is misleading people. So that is the parable of what we're looking for. God loves sinners. He knows we're sinners. God searches for sinners. And God restores sinners. And God confers the privilege of sonship and daughtership upon those that return to him. So as I end this, let's say together, Jesus, we are your sheep. You are our shepherd.
You are our shepherd.
Thank you for finding us. And when we get lost, we want you to find us again. And every day we will stretch out our hand so that you can hold us and lead us into your flock. We know we are unworthy of this gift, but we accept it with a whole heart and with a wholesome spirit, and we remember Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
That's the end.